Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your news update here on Fantasy Sports Radio. Well, Russell Wilson says despite a hard April 15th deadline for contract talks, he's not going to play his biggest card. Wilson says he won't hold out, and he'll be with the Seattle Seahawks through every day and every workout. The 30-year-old has 1 year remaining on his contract with Seattle, a four-year $87.6 million deal, and it's believed his new deal will exceed the one of Aaron Rodgers' contract. He's the highest-paid player in the league at $33.5 million a year, Wilson spending his entire seven-year career in Seattle, leading them to a Super Bowl. The feud between Conor McGregor and Khabib is getting nastier by the second. After Conor McGregor insulted Nurmagomedov's wife, the UFC champ came back today calling Conor a rapist. McGregor is currently under investigation after a separate woman, not his wife, accused him of sexual assault in December in his native Ireland. McGregor shockingly retired from MMA last week. Khabib is one of many skeptical of his sincerity. Hump day, we got a lot of afternoon baseball action. This one in, the Brewers beating the Reds 1-0. What a pitching performance by Freddie Peralta. 8 innings of two-hit ball, 11 Ks. If you had him in your DFS lineup, you were smiling. Alex Wilson picking up the saves. Games in progress. Washington leads Philly 6-4 in the top of eight. White Sox up on the Indians 8-1 in the top of nine. They were big dogs. Colorado and Tampa scoreless. We're now in extras, top of 10. Kansas City, they lead Minnesota 6-4 in the bottom of seven. Arizona, San Diego scoreless, top two. Now we get to games on the way. Just about to get started right now. Tigers at Yankees 405. Yankees minus 190, 9.5, Boyd versus Loasagna. Baltimore at Toronto, Jays minus 150, 8.5, Tarns versus Shoemaker. At 6:10, the New York Mets are minus 220 at Miami. 6.5, low total, DeGrom and Richards. 7:05, St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Yar, the Pirates, 115, 7.5, Mikolas versus Tyon. 7:20, we have the Cubs taking on the Atlanta Braves. Braves minus 130, total 9, Lester versus Tehran. 8:05, Houston minus 220 at Texas, the total 9 in that game, Cole versus Minor. And at 10:07, Boston laying 140 at Oakland, total 8.5, Eovaldi versus Estrada. One more, San Francisco at the Dodgers. Dodgers laying 200, 7.5, you're over under, Holland versus Stripling. The Cleveland Indians have given manager Terry Francona a two-year extension through 2022. College hoops, Murray State star Ja Morant will declare for the NBA draft. Morant became just the second player in Division I NCAA history to average a double-double with points and assists. He averaged 24.5 points and 10 assists with Murray State. He's a projected top three NBA pick behind Duke's Zion Williamson. CBI championship resuming tonight, best 2 out of 3. South Florida leads to DePaul in the series 1-0. DePaul laying 5 at home tonight, 146 is your total. Monster night in the NBA. We got lots of games here. Indiana at Detroit. The Pistons are 3.5, 205.5. Knicks and Orlando Magic laying 12.5, 212.5 is your over-under. Chicago at Washington, the Wiz minus 10, 226. Philadelphia, they're laying 3 at Atlanta, 238, high over-under there. Boston, Miami, straight pick 'em, 213. The Raptors are minus 2 at Brooklyn, 227.5. Charlotte minus 3.5 at New Orleans, 231. Minnesota at Dallas, the Mavs minus 1.5, 226. San Antonio and Denver, the Denver Nuggets laying 5, 213. Utah, they're 10-point favorites at Phoenix, 220 is your total. Memphis at Portland, Blazers minus 10.5, 217. And Houston minus 1.5 at the Clip Joint. LA Clippers, playing some good ball, 229 is your total there. In NHL news, the league and the Players Association agreeing to a one-year extension on the controversial playoff format. So any potential changes are going to be implemented no sooner than the 2020-2021 campaign, despite many players critical. A lot of people trashing the system, including us. Just 3 on frozen water tonight. Ottawa at the Rangers. Rangers minus 186. St. Louis, the Blues, minus 150. Smooth. St. Louis, 50 at Chicago. Total 6. And Calgary laying 170 at Anaheim. Total in this hockey game is 5.5. Stay tuned to Red Heat and Rage, everybody, hosted by Gabe Morenci. I'm Cam Stewart. Our friend Mark Lawrence joins us to talk about the Final Four. And Gamblu, our buddy from Arizona, stick around. It's going to be a fun-packed show. It's Wednesday, but, man, we bring the heat on Red Heat and Rage. Stick around, everybody. Coming up next, Gabe Morenci and Red Heat and Rage.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart, now on YouTube. I'm Gabriel Morenci. Throwing it down in New York, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. holding down the den, in defending the den, busting up the bunker.
Defend the den. What's up, Cam? I like that. I'm doing pretty good, Morency. Interesting afternoon baseball action. We're going to have a busy afternoon. Yankees game getting set to go off, and so is the Blue Jays. So your neck of the woods, my neck of the woods. We got afternoon sports action, which I love. Miss our old days with the World Cup soccer. Betting in the afternoon, it's one of our favorite things.
Yeah, you know what? Well, that's the beautiful thing about baseball. If you're a degenerate gambler, there's always going to be afternoon baseball, for the most part, a couple of times a week at least. Wednesdays, Thursdays. Normally as well. At least early in the season, you get these afternoon games. As you mentioned, the New York Yankees, minus 180. Toronto Blue Jays, minus 154. And I hate to admit it, but call me Captain Chalk because I laid the price with both teams. I already went over to the FanDuel Sportsbook earlier in the day, and I've got a piece of the Yankees. I'm not hot. I haven't bet on the Yankees. I bet on the Yankees once this year in the first game of the year. We laid a run and a half, and we won. And I backed off since. And I hate jumping on. I hate, betting against hot teams. But the thing is, the difference is, I haven't lost two or three days in a row with the Yankees. That's the difference.
Yeah. You'll be a little more hesitant if you're laying 400 with these guys.
Exactly. All right. They haven't won in a couple of games. It's 180. I didn't lose on them before, so I'm not down with the Yankees. I think they're going to get it done this afternoon. And the Toronto Blue Jays is kind of rolling the dice here, Cam, to be honest. That's a degenerate play. I got the Blue Jays and the under.
Honestly, Gabe, and let's be honest, it's probably not the smartest of plays. Good gamblers will tell you it's not a great bet, but some things, the line also went down. I'm not sure where you got it, but it went down to around 50. I know it was 60 cents when we did the morning show hit today. And I like the way Shoemaker pitched in the first game. We know about Nate Karns, kind of a journeyman pitcher with Seattle and now with Baltimore, but we got to give Baltimore credit. They've really been exceeding expectations. Mancini hitting 450, VR hitting 333 early in the season, Dwight Smith. All these guys that are so-called chumps are well, and the only problem is one guy that's always a problem, Chris Davis, 0 for 12. He's been slumping for the last couple of years, but got to give the Orioles credit. They're battling. They've been a juicy dog so far.
Yeah, the Baltimore Orioles are actually, they're plus 814 on the units already. We're not even 1 week in. They're already up.
I know.
Eight
Baltimore
units.
Baltimore bookies. Imagine you're a bookie in Baltimore. It's tough to win money in that town. I tell you, man, these guys are going to be losing their minds.
A lot of bookies in Baltimore this week, their phones are going to be off, Cam. Their phone's going to be off. If I was owed money from a bookie in the Baltimore area, I'd probably, whatever your payday is, I'd be going to the bus station. I'd be hanging around the bus station. Just keep your eye on the departures.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Jerry, I swear. A Greyhound out of town.
Yeah. Where's Billy? Billy, I don't know. He left. One-way ticket. I saw it firsthand in Montreal, dude. There's a lot of Greek people in Montreal. And Greece were like 80-1 to win the Euro Cup the year they won it. And the thing with Greeks is, whatever, man. Greece were terrible, but every Greek in Montreal put like $10, $100, $500, $200, and they won. Every bookie disappeared.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
What has that begun? It's a Wednesday, which means Mark Lawrence joins us. LouGamblu.com will step up and in as well as Conor McGregor continues to make a jackass of himself in the late night hours last night. I don't know what this dude's problem is. Probably cocaine, maybe HGH. maybe too much proper 12 whiskey, but whatever it
Parlay
is,
the dude's pretty.
He's deranged, and Khabib has responded online, actually, which he probably shouldn't. He should probably just look the other way and take the high road at this point, or just like sort of kill him after. But he's, you know, he stepped up and in and threw some high heat. But we'll get to that a little bit later on with Lou from Gambloot.com. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence, who is one of many who is mourning the loss of the Alliance of American Football League. Mark Lawrence joins us. Mark, it's too bad the league's gone. I know you were very successful. It was a strong, at least you'll have positive memories of the brief run of the AAF.
I will. I'll hold it fondly, Gabe. short but sweet. I'm a little bit surprised, though. I'm online at AAF.com, and not one word of mention about, you know, the suspension, the news that's in the media, so forth and whatnot. If you went to their website, you'd think that the games were still going to be played this week, just the way that they've got everything laid out there.
Hey, you're exactly right. I'm looking at it right now. They have the schedule set up, and there's not,
no,
you're
problem.
Right, week 8 power
cool.
rankings. Yeah, everything's fine. It's like Baghdad Bob. The infidels have been beaten away. And you know what's crazy, too? It would have been a big week for them, guys, as CBS had them slated, and this wasn't even planned because, you know, the CBS said, yeah, you know what, we got the Final Four on Saturday, so why not show the AAF game leading into the Final Four? So it would have been a big showcase week for them once again. It's too bad they just couldn't get the couple of weeks. But me and Cam talked about this yesterday, Mark. Steve Spurrier says they should be named the champions of the league because they were 7-1. If they were 8-0 and they were undefeated, I'd crown them champs. But since they lost to Arizona, I can't do it.
Well, arguably the best team in the league. There's no doubt about that. Favored every game. In fact, they won the yards in every game they played. And they would have been the odds-on favorite to win the championship. But it doesn't matter. It's all just a moot point. And, it's a shame because, we had such a good handle on that league. It played so true to form. And especially if you're a stats guy and you like the statistics and you can see the phoniness of some teams like the San Antonio Commanders. I mean, that team, they would win games and get pushed around in the stats every week, and they still come favored. Things like that, that's just worked out so well. But, I'm going to blame Big Brother for all this, the National Football League, because they wanted this to be their developmental league and ended up partnering with the AAF in doing that, but pulled the plug because they didn't want to supply players to the league. And it got all into the legalities of that, about the practice squad players and their tenure and compensation, so forth and whatnot. So, the bottom line is it didn't appeal to the National Football League, and they booted him to the side, to the curb.
Well, the National Football League put it on the NFL Network. They wanted to see some stability before. And as you stated, there actually are a lot of hurdles to just take a football player and make him play like there's actually, there's off-season workout rules. What happens if he gets hurt? If he gets hurt, who covers it? If he gets hurt and he gets severely hurt, is he cut? Who is he covered? Is he covered with the NFL? Like, there were so many angles. It's too bad that it wasn't more thought out. But I can't help but think, like, the Orlando Apollos or, like, the 1994 Montreal Expos. They had the best record. We'll never know if they would have won. And nope. I always tell Expo fans that, too. Like, the Expos were killing it that year, man. Like, they were like 40 games over 500 or something when the strike happened finally. But would they have beaten the Yankees in a World Series? We don't know. We just don't know. But what we do know is that there's a Final Four, and I know that the Raging Redhead is enjoying the Final Four matchup. As Cam's got a Virginia ticket and Texas Tech in a bracket pool as well. The question is, what happens now? And we have one team left standing, Mark, with your Elite Eight elements, the Michigan State Spartans.
Yeah, that's going to be put to the test this year, Gabe, because they got to win two games, go 2-0 to keep that, you know, to keep that elite element alive. And you know, they have the moxie; they're favored to do just that. It'll be interesting to see when they do play the championship game, if it's them in Virginia, you know, what they're going to make the odds in that basketball game. But you know, the bottom line is, right now, I think Michigan State appears
Virginia
to be
minus one.
I think it's going to be winner pick. It's going to be basically depend upon a lot of what we see on Saturday. Yes.
Yeah, Mark, I'm a little bit scared in watching Michigan State. They did so many things against Duke and Texas Tech. They're known for the defense. They're great. They have wicked players. That guard Moretti, the Italian kid, has been money too ever since his parents flew in from Italy. This guy's just been knocking everything down. But Michigan State, They're big inside. You saw what they did to Duke in that game. They hit clutch shots outside. I'm kind of worried, Mark. I need Texas Tech, but you in the playbook, too, you're like, put the brakes on. Michigan State, well-pedigreed, too, older coach, players that know there, been there, done that, and this is kind of new territory for Texas Tech in the program, despite being a good team. Michigan State, they've had many, many, many wars this year.
Yeah, there's an avalanche of good numbers for Michigan State inside this week's Final Four tournament guide. And, you know, one of them being not only Tom Izzo's success in this tournament, when he's been favored after winning and covering as a favorite, he's never lost a game. He's 22-0. The other one is
22-0.
22-0.
Unbelievable. Oh, jeez.
That's kind of tough. I mean, you know, I mean, if he wins and covers this game, he'll be 23-0 going into the Virginia game on Monday night. But the one that really got me, guys, was this, is that somebody had mentioned that never had a team won the NCAA basketball tournament if they lost in the first round of their conference tourney. So I ran that into my database, and I took first-round conference tourney losers and saw what they did if they, by chance, happened to make it to the Final Four. 10 teams have been in that role. All 10 teams have lost in the Final Four. 1-9 to the spread collectively, 0-9 running. And that's kind of the role that Texas Tech inherits this week because they tripped out in the first round of their Big 12 tournament.
Wow. That's why Mark Lawrence's database, second to none.
Strong.
And there's a lot of numbers as well. How about teams, Mark? How about teams that have cashed as underdogs going into the Final Four as well? I see there's some angles. 3-13 straight up, 5-11 against the spread in the since 1995. You mentioned Tom Izzo's numbers. It seems like all the data is against this Texas Tech team. Stylistically as well, Texas Tech have done a great job sort of bullying teams and, you know, just being physically tougher, willing themselves to victory. They're extremely difficult to deal with in the paint, but if there's one team that can play a physical brand of basketball, it is the Michigan State Spartans. And another thing, guys, that there's a big correlation this year, if you look at the Final Four, there's none of these one-and-done kid teams. Like, most of these players that are left, guys, are pretty much like veterans. You know, you look at Winston on the on the Spartans at Michigan State. You look at Virginia. There's just a lot of experienced players here. Michigan State are a very experienced team, Mark.
Yeah, we saw Duke bow out to that this year. Kentucky, maybe not so much one-and-dones as they have been in the past, but still three freshman starters for Kentucky. All the freshmen with Duke, none of them got this far. So as you mentioned, your experience has gone a long, long way towards getting these teams into the Final Four.
All right, it's hard to believe I would have lost this trivia question. I wouldn't have been able to stump the Schwab, but I'll save the question for the other side and see if Mark Lawrence and Cam Stewart are up to the test. Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Detroit Tigers have a runner on second base in the second inning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, sharp dressed man. I guess this is dedicated to Mark Lawrence. That's congratulations is in order. Mark Lawrence was at the Florida Derby and had a little bit more success than we did with the Florida Derby. Congratulations, Mark. No, no, listen, you were at the race. I saw the pictures. Great stuff. And, Yang, remember, Mike goes on, Mike goes off, buddy. We saw the pictures of you and the crew throwing it down at Gulfstream. But not only that, you won the race as well, Mark. Cashed an exacta. Is it true, an exacta and a trifecta?
To end the great day, the couple of guys from Vegas, Marco D'Angelo and Ralph Michaels from Wager Talk, came in, and a couple of my buds from Philadelphia were there as well, and Mark Jr. So we had a great time. And then it all ended with hit, being able to hit the exacta and the trifecta in this Florida Derby. It was a beautiful $500 exacta and a $500 trifecta for a 50-cent ticket. So it ended up being a pretty nice day all in all. I'd say it was really a great day.
Wow, yeah. Isn't that great, Mark, when you take the exacta and the try and a favorite gets it done? Like, because I tend to do this. You know, you're boxing it and you knocked out the two guys there. Who's the jockey? Luis Saez? What a beautiful ride. Front to back, and the other horses couldn't make up the ground. That was a beautiful trip. Great performance.
Yeah, it was a great ride by Saez. And, you know, the funny thing is that horse 3 months ago was running in a 16,000 claimer race, and now he's going to be one of the favorites in the Kentucky Derby here in a month or so.
Don't tell me that.
Can you believe that, Moretti?
I don't
$16,000 claimer in the Kentucky Derby, and our horse, he almost dies when he runs. It's just... Sometimes life's not fair, right, Mark?
We raced against $16,000 horses.
$16,000
I guarantee you, none of those horses are winning a Kentucky Derby.
No, they're not winning anything. They're barn race.
Our horse couldn't get, like, through the, like, wouldn't make it around the track.
No.
Who was your horse, guys? Which horse was your?
Our trainer would come back to us. Sorry, Gabe. He hurt his hoof around the third turn, man.
Yeah.
I'd be like, yeah. Thanks, Cal.
Yeah.
I'll send you a video, Mark, actually. We have a video of our horse winning a race. Our horse is
named
Conflict Diamond. Yeah.
He was great.
Conflict Diamond. But unfortunately, he raced at Woodbine and Erie and
Georgia Downs.
And I don't know. All Barry, whatever. All those sort of harness on the Northeast. We were all over the place. We started. We were winning, but when he came back, he couldn't win. So we started moving up to lower and lower tracks. We were finishing in third.
$6,500
versus.
Like, oh, God help us!
Yeah, it was like, all right, I think time to sell. Took a beating, but I don't need to tell you, Mark, about the horse industry, right? I said that's the best part of the horse. I love betting the ponies, but God, don't own a horse race. Don't buy a racehorse, Mark. You can advise people of this, right?
No, not unless you've got money that you want to throw away. Open up the window and just throw it out the window.
Just go there. Give it to charity.
Yes.
Yeah, like even the people that win the Kentucky Derby and stuff. I know once in a while, like that sleazeball. What was his name? O'Brien, you know, the controversial guy camp from a few years ago. Was the guy?
He's still
like
a trainer.
Whatever.
Doug
O'Neill. Once in a while, Once in a while, there'll be a guy like him, or you know, hey, we got lucky. We paid $100,000 for this horse, and now you get this Florida Derby stuff. But for the most part, it's all like you know, Saudi Arabia, the government, and United Emirates, and the sheiks, and all this oil money.
Bob Baffert.
And they're really losing. Yeah, they're losing. Well, Bob Baffert's training them, and they're losing money in the long run. They're buying every time top prime, like, stud, so to speak. They're impregnating a lot of horses. You know what I'm saying? And once in a while, they strike gold with one of them. But before we get back to the Final Four with Mark Lawrence, I figured you guys would like this. April Fool's Day was just the other day. Ooh, Tom Brady announced he's retiring. Oh, yeah, real funny, Tom.
Yeah, I
wish you would mean it. But there's never good April Fool's jokes. That's why I didn't do it. I didn't do one. We didn't have a good one. I couldn't, whatever. I woke up past, I did the morning show. I'm like, I don't mess with this stuff. So here's a funny story, though, from Mike Wise. New York columnist, covers the Knicks forever. He goes, true story. A Cleveland Cavalier cheerleader once came up to me during the 96 season during a Knicks game. She said, are you Mike Wise from the New York Times? Oh, my God. I read everything you write. I went up to talk to her after the game, and she blew me off. I walked into the Knicks locker room after, and Patrick Ewing smiled at me and goes, April Fools.
That's good. Gee,
that's creative, right? You send a hot cheerleader up to, like, the beat writer, and he's all, like, goes up to her after the game. Hey, how you doing? You want to go for a drink? Well,
guy's thinking, ooh, she's a cheerleader likes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she strokes him and tells him she reads everything he writes.
Yeah, nice. Patrick Ewing just grins. April Fools. You know, I heard a great April Fools joke going back to Mark, Cam, about, remember Morton Anderson, the kicker. So Morton Anderson considered himself quite the dresser and ladies' man, you know? So they actually told him that, Playboy was coming to do a feature on him. And, you know, they wanted him to bust out his best look. I guess Morton Anderson showed up at the Superdome in, like, tight leather pants, like matching jacket, like a leather suit and, like, boots. And he was all excited. He told everyone, yeah, I'm doing a photo shoot with Playboy. They're doing an interview with me. They were like, no, you're not, Morty. Like, we made it up. April Fool. Like, it was like a gag. That's a good story. So, all right. So Michigan State, I think Michigan State's going to get it done. It's going to be tough as hell, but I like the matchup. I like the matchup against Texas Tech. I think Michigan State have the mental toughness. They have the experienced point guard. That's one thing. Texas Tech, Michigan's point guard play was pathetic. Xavier Simpson was terrible. Texas Tech have overwhelmed other teams' point guards, and they make too many passes in the paint. Michigan State are an experienced team. I don't think they're going to fall for the same traps that a lot of other teams did. I think Michigan State are going to get it done. Mark Lawrence's database says Michigan State. Cam Stewart's heart and wallet is praying that it's Texas Tech. Now, Auburn and Virginia, Mark, what do you make of this one? And I was going to say earlier, here's the trivia question, and I would have gotten wrong. The question is, true or false, Cam, the Virginia Cavaliers have never won a Final Four game before.
True.
Yeah, it's true. They've never won. I set it up like that. I should have asked it a different way.
Sure did. Thanks. Yeah, no, you said.
I should have said, I never would have guessed the answer.
Yeah, true's the answer to Gabe. Thanks. They've been to the Final Four before, but yeah, they kind of
twice.
Haven't won, but. Yeah, I think you guys, and Mark's database, I think
twice,
you're right, though.
But they lost both times.
They did. And reading Mark's beautiful, beautiful Final Four right up there, a great stat, too. These guys 9-0. So these games outside of Charlottesville there, Gabe, when 6-point favorites or under, 9-0. So Virginia, they're, you know what I mean? It's one of those things we talk about them. They grind out these wins there, Mark, but the numbers in the database kind of like the situation, and so do I. Auburn without their best player, and I'll tell you about Auburn is, if they're not hitting their threes, they're done, and they will be frustrated against a suffocating defense. I think it's a bad matchup for Auburn going up against Virginia.
Against Virginia's defense, I agree, Cam, and you live by the three, you die by the three. They've lived to get to the Final Four with the three-point shots. it'd be a different case in this game on Saturday. I also like the fact that we've talked so many times before about how a team rallies around a lost star player for the game that he's out, the first game he's out, and they play above their level. Everybody does. Auburn did just that when they took down Kentucky. Now, game two without that star player is oftentimes always a different result. And I think that'll end up being the case for Auburn in this game against Virginia.
Mark Lawrence with us. Playbook.com. You can get the newsletter with a wealth of information and NBA information as well. Before we get you out of here, Mark, we got a minute or two left. We've been in such college basketball mode, but we got a game tonight, actually, Mark. It's the, you know, do you see the zigzag theory in effect here? DePaul backs against the wall. South Florida can win win the title tonight if they win in Chicago. They're getting 5.5 points. A lot of people are sort of thinking it's the automatic zigzag. What do you make of this one tonight?
Well, the zigzag inside this CBI tournament itself has worked really well because they play a best-of-three championship series. And teams that are in game two off of a loss who are not double-digit favorites like DePaul, they're 7-2 straight up and to the number to come back and stay alive in the tournament here. I think DePaul's got the makeup in them. I think they can get the win and the cover here tonight.
And I wanted to bring this up, NBA playoffs going to be starting. Not this weekend, but the following weekend. And this is dangerous. ESPN reports that the Milwaukee Bucks are the eighth team with 45 double-digit wins in an NBA season. That's unbelievable. They've won 45 or more games by double digits, man. Every time, the last seven times this has happened, every one of those teams won the NBA title. You'll get great tidbits like that, plus... other information like the Chicago Bulls are 7-1 against the spread against the Washington Wizards, and the Washington Wizards are 0-4 straight up and against the spread in the series with same season triple revenge. All from the Coffee Club, playbook.com. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
One,
enjoy the games. Be well. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To Mark Lawrence for joining us on the show. Talking about Tom Izzo and his success. How about this, Cam? Tom Izzo has 275 more wins than any other coach in this year's Final Four.
Unbelievable.
275.
And Bennett's good, too. Earl, like, those are some good coaches there. Unbelievable. I'm hedging.
We should also note that 17 of the last 18 national champions, with the one exception was UConn, 17 of the last 18 NCAA tournament champions, there are eight elements that you need. You have to be a 1, a 2, or a 3 seed from a major conference. See, Gonzaga, bye-bye. We talk about it, Cam. You and I have talked about this all year long, and, you know, we talked about it while Gonzaga... They compete when they play against good teams, but I really do think they need to move to a better conference because you notice when they play good teams, it's always a close game suddenly. And they're not used to playing in close games, right? Like if you beat Pepperdine by 28 and saying, you know, and you're playing against Santa Clara every night, okay.
Hey, Pacific.
Yeah, you can beat Duke when you play them, but it's going to be a close game, and you're not used to that tightness. You know what I mean? Like, you're used to killing teams. So, like, never like, oh, shit, we're down by 6 with 4 minutes left. They're never down by 6 with 4 minutes left, so they never have that panic. They need to play in a better conference. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, Gonzaga by.
Right.
So, 17 of the last 18 champions, eight elements, a 1, a 2, or a 3 seed from a major conference. average 73 points or more. Give up 73 points or less. On an average scoring margin of 7 points or more. Face the top 75 schedule. Have a coach with six or more NCAA tournament appearances and at least one Elite Eight appearance. Were in the NCAA tournament the year before, or if you weren't in the NCAA tournament before, you have an All-American player on your roster. And there were five teams that qualified that could potentially win the tournament this year. Tennessee, Kentucky, Duke, and who was the other one that got bounced? Who was the other top seed? North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And there's only one of these teams left standing. On a trend that is 17-1, Cam, the Michigan State Spartans. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Like, I think Michigan State's going to win, and I'm going to bet on them to win. I'm going to roll it over for real, too. Instead of playing the 165, you know, you roll it over, you're going to get about plus 220 or so. And I really am going to roll it over, but I'm not going to enjoy watching them win. But this is where it comes down to money's money, Cam, right? I think they're going to win. I'm getting them at, I'll end up getting them at about plus 220. Because if you take the money line against Texas Tech, and then you consider that there's going to be a pick 'em, or they're going to be like 1 point underdogs against Virginia, and you roll that over, it turns out to about plus 215, plus 220. The math, Cam, is better to roll over than taking the Spartans plus 165.
It is, and I've already done my math and looked at my combinations, and I can't hedge both. I have to make a decision, and my decision is, and especially after seeing Mark's book, I need Texas Tech and Virginia, but I'm not going to be taking Auburn on the money line. My one hedge is with Michigan State. Virginia gets there, and then at least I have one team in the final, and I can do it again. If I have to do it with both, Gabe, it takes a significant chunk out of the money. But hey, winning like 500, you know, 700, 1,000, whatever the hell it is going to be better than nothing. And I told Billy the doorman that, you know, I'm getting older, and hopefully we're getting smarter. And to me, it might not seem like a lot, but $1,000 takes care of a mortgage payment, bills, all sorts of other things. You know what I mean? It's just I'd rather, if you go this far in an event, walking away with nothing seems stupid to me. Why would I do that? Now you have to hedge.
No, exactly. I can't disagree with that. Listen, that's been our problem. It's been a big problem for me. I can't put words in your mouth, but you know, we all have our issues when it comes to gaming, and
we do.
Picking winners is like almost the easier part. It's actually managing it and managing your bankroll, managing your emotions, knowing when to, like, you know, step up, when to step back. It's tough to do. Yet one of my issues is I've always sort of thought big. You know what I mean? I've always sort of thought, like, I don't want to win just $400 on an NFL Sunday. I want to win $3,800, you know? Or, you know, same thing. Like, I always just think, big deal. So I won $200 today. Or, you know, you won $180 or you won $700. Or I'm never happy with it. I'm always thinking, well, whatever, man. I want that night I won $8,000. Or I want that time I went 20-0 and I won, you know, and I won that. And you can't get that all the time. It's unrealistic. And you got to look at it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it I was talking with T-Bone about this in the Vegas days when he was, you know, professional card counter. And basically somebody taught. So basically it was a hustler that taught him to count cards in Vegas. He basically passed it on. He goes, I want, like, and he goes, you need to pass this on to someone else. Cause he goes, I hate these son of a bitches. He goes, beat them. You know what I mean? So this hustler guy taught him. Like, it's not like T-Bone. Like, it was basically in Vegas. Some hustler guy taught T-Bone at the table how to count and, like, how to do it. So, and he also told him, don't get greedy. And it was this guy told him this story. He basically stated, listen, if you try to hit them and you start going around everywhere and you're nailing them all the time, they're going to get you and you're going to get barred from everywhere.
For sure.
He goes, don't get greedy. He goes, leave. If you've won $200, leave. He goes, don't win more than $200 at a casino. They'll catch on. And he basically stated, and there's nothing wrong with winning $200 a day. He said, don't play anymore for the rest of the day. He said, I'm not just talking about leaving a casino. He says, if you get up $200, stop playing for the day. And you or I would never do that, Cam. Imagine you and I, and you're going to be in Vegas next week. You win $200 at 2 in the afternoon. You're not stopping. Like, oh, yeah, I'm done.
God, no. It's my run.
Let's go for dinner.
It's my run. Of course. But look at it, Cam.
But I'm just going to say, let me finish, Cam.
Yep.
Let me finish. Yep. I'm just going to say, you walk out of there. You go into the casino. You bet on sports, whatever. You play the tables. You win $200. You put it in your pocket, and you walk out. You don't gamble anymore for the day. You add up $200 a day. At the end of the year, you made $71,200. Which, that's more than cops make. That's more than nurses make. That's more than a lot of people make. All right?
Yep.
That's a good job. $71,000. And basically, you're a pro bettor. And you're not really even living an ultra, oh, my God, my life's on the line all the time. Because that's the way you would think. If I want to make money betting on sports, I better get a bookie and start risking $5,000 a game. And I've thought like that. Well, I'm never going to get anywhere just winning a couple $100. I better get $5,000 credit and bet $1,500 and $2,000 a game and stuff. You know the drill. But you just heard the number, Cam. $200 a day, buddy. $71,000, $200 your change.
Yeah, I was funny. Before you finish your story, I was just going to say, what's wrong with $1,400 a week? That's exactly, and you gave me the yearly figure. What is wrong with $1,400 a week? That is a good job. That is your money, cash money. It's almost like, say, you know, here with the taxes, it's like making $2,000, Gabe. You know, $2,000 a week, that's pretty good. You can live a pretty comfortable life.
It's tax-free.
Do the things
also
that you want to do.
It's tax-free.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not asking you for anything when you're cashing your $200 winner. You don't get hit up with that.
I'm not saying, I think we're getting a little bit better, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I get smarter sometimes, but there's always a time where you fall off the wagon and you can't do that. Like Super Bowl was an example of kind of like when you're at your account, you go, no, I'm all in. And having the all-in mentality, I don't think over time is a smart way to be. You have to be very disciplined. Hey, we're going to be in the game for a long time, so we got to be smart about it. Hey, we take a lot of punches. Eventually, we'll figure it out, but you know what I mean? It's a learning process, man. Everybody's different, too. Me and you love the rush. We love action. We're not like Pizzola, you know, like he's very robotic in what he does and stuff like that. I want to throw more money on a television game. I want to bet on this. Horse racing, I want to try to hit the superfecta instead of just, you know,
taking a couple
horses, you know? That's what we do.
Let's be real.
It's hard.
That's why I sit in a room with no furniture. You sit in a house with holes in the wall, and Pizzola's renovating his game room.
Absolutely
just
true.
Got a new Juventus autograph jersey here in frame, right? Like, slow and steady wins in gambling.
I give him a lot of credit.
But not everyone.
Yeah, great approach.
Not everyone's a wild man and a degenerate like our main man Bob in Vermont. Bob likes the rush. He likes to put all the money on the table. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Gabe. How you doing, guys?
Good. Hey, Bob. What's going on, Bob? How you doing? You just wake up?
No, guess what happened to me last night? Guess who I got to talk to on YouTube last night? Dick Vitale.
I was going to guess Bon Jovi, but all right. Dick Vitale,
no,
nice.
No, not Bon Jovi. No, Dick Vitale.
Bon Jovi.
Oh,
he's
an
awesome guy.
Guess.
You had him on your show, Gabe.
Yeah, well, you're a big star. What, you're interviewing Bon Jovi on your YouTube channel now?
No, not Bon Jovi, Dick Vitale.
And Dick Vitale. How'd you speak with Dick Vitale?
Well, I have another friend that does YouTube channels, and then his name is Rover Sports, and he had him on his show. And they called his show up and then talked to the old Dick Vitale. He was actually in studio when they were talking to each other.
Nice, nice.
It was good.
You don't say.
He enjoyed myself talking, you know.
You sound
like
you've been smoking weed all day today, Bob. You sound pretty laid back.
Some Kush. I haven't been smoking some Kush. No. No, I haven't.
Nothing wrong with that. No, I'm not. Nothing. We're not judging.
No, I like Kush. I have some Kush. My friend wants to.
Is it legal in Vermont yet?
Is it recreationally
legal? It is.
Legal. Yeah.
Hope so.
My friend gets it medically, so he shares Kush with us.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
Got to get that medical card.
So you think I can't believe the Yankees lately. They can't win anything lately.
The Yankees are up 1-0 right now. They just scored.
They just scored.
I know. I'm not watching the game yet. Yeah, but then they lost to Baltimore two games. That's serious.
They're 2-3.
But the Red Sox keep on losing. That's good for us. Red Sox keep on.
Red Sox are going to win today.
No, they're not. They're going to lose. Who's pitching tonight? Who's pitching for the Red Sox?
Eovaldi versus Estrada for Oakland.
Estrada.
Oh,
not Eric Estrada from Chips.
No, Michael. I know. Gabe, I think Michigan State's going to win it all.
Good thought, Bob.
Thanks.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Please answer me tomorrow.
I call you this morning. I'm not that famous for you, right, Dave? Maybe you're awesome.
You gotta perk up.
Dave, you're awesome. I'll have my fix tomorrow. Okay, guys,
do
have a great night.
Pick up when Bob calls, Gabe.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Red Heat Rage on Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam, I just heard you cheering a home run. Who hit a home run?
Yeah, your boy. Guess who? The new Mr. Millionaire, Randall Grichuk, a second bomb of the year after getting the big contract yesterday.
Grichuk's the Jays' best player now.
Damn right he is. The guy's looking good. He was a huge prospect with the Cardinals. He just has a strikeout problem. If he could figure that stuff out. Grichuk, when he played for St. Louis.
You remember what the problem was there? It was his father.
Strikeouts.
And yeah, Grichuk, his father's like really overbearing. It was like he's like a high school coach, swing expert. And so basically he's telling his son, no, don't listen to the hitting coach. And you know what I mean? No, they're messing with you. Finally, he had to tell his dad, hey, you got to back off. And if you recall, Grichuk didn't like playing for Tony La Russa.
He
said La Russa is insane. But La Russa is like Bill Belichick, right? You know, he basically stated that if you smile in a dugout, like La Russa thinks you don't take it seriously and he's a nut job. If you strike out once, like he gives you a dirty look and, you know, whatever. Like, he's Tony La Russa. It is what it is. So, you know, he had a personality problem too. And he's really fit in with Toronto, though. It's a good fit for him. He's been playing good baseball. So NHL, we'll talk a little NHL hockey with Lou from Gamble, who's going to join us to talk UFC as well. But our boy Pierre LeBrun reports that the NHL is discussing the playoff format. They're aware of its flaws, but the earliest it would be changed would be 2021.
Yep.
Due to the fact is, if they changed it next year, not next year, but the year after, Seattle's coming into the league.
True.
They're going to have 32 teams. So they're basically just going to, they're going to reshuffle things when they have 32 teams. But the owners being the cheap bastards that they are, it's funny, LeBron says that they're against the 1-8 format. They're against the 1-8 because of travel reasons. Yeah, man, these guys are cheap, man.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Right, Gabe. They say stocks are cheap. Maybe the NHL ownership, they're cheaper. You said it. Is this a professional league? Get bet. Figure it out, guys. Update. We got baseball action everywhere, fellas. Big one earlier. The Brewers taking out the Reds 1-0. Freddie Peralta, 8 innings of 2-hit ball, 11 Ks. Alex Wilson's the save. And we have a winner. Washington just took out Philadelphia. It was tied 8-8 now. The Nats win 9-8. Walk-off, bottom of the ninth, they get it done. Nationals over Philly. The White Sox, the biggest pooch on the board, beating the Indians 8-3 today. Corey Kluber getting rocked for Cleveland. Colorado beats Tampa 1-0. Pitchers duel, that a final in 11 innings. Game's on the go right now. We have Arizona and San Diego. They're scoreless in the top of five. Yankees up on Detroit 1-0, bottom three. Toronto leads Baltimore 2-0. Grichuk just went deep for the Jays. Next game on the board, Mets minus 220 at Miami. 6.5, the over-under low because of DeGrom and Richards. 7.05, St. Louis and Pittsburgh. Pirates, yar, minus 115. Over-under 7.5, Mikolas and Tyon. 7.20, we got the Cubs and Braves tonight. Braves are laying 30 cents. 9, Lester versus Tehran. 8.05, Battle of Texas. Houston versus the Texas Rangers. Astros 229, Cole versus Minor. 10.07, Boston laying 40 cents at Oakland. 8.5, Uvalde versus Estrada. And San Francisco is at the LA Dodgers. Dodgers minus 195. 7, the over-under, Holland versus Stripling. The Cleveland Indians have given manager Terry Francona a 2-year extension through 2022. College hoops, Murray State star Ja Morant will declare for the NBA draft. He becomes the second player in Division I NCAA history to average a double-double with points and assists. What a year. 24.5 points, 10 assists. Morant projected to go in the top three in the NBA draft behind Duke Zion Williamson. CBI championship tonight. Remember, this is a best 2-3. South Florida leads the series 1-0 over DePaul. DePaul laying 5 at home right now. 146 is your total. Russell Wilson, we heard the story yesterday, and today he says, despite a hard April 5th deadline for contracts talks, he's not going to play his biggest card against the Seahawks. Wilson says he won't hold out, and he'll participate in every single day and every single workout with the Seahawks. The 30-year-old has 1 year remaining on his deal, 4 years at $87.6 million. It's believed his new deal will exceed Aaron Rodgers' contract as the highest-paid player at $33.5 million a year. Wilson spending his whole 7-year career in Seattle. The feud between Connor and Khabib getting nastier by the minute. After Conor McGregor insulted Nurmagomedov's wife, the UFC champ came back hard today at Conor, calling him a rapist. McGregor is currently under investigation after a separate woman accused him of sexual assault in his native Ireland back in December. McGregor shockingly retired from MMA last week, and Khabib, one of many skeptical to say that retirement is Bush League. Monster night in the NBA tonight, Indiana at Detroit, Pistons 3.5, 205.5. We have the Knicks at Orlando, Magic laying 12.5, 212.5. We have Chicago and Washington, the Wizards, 10-point favorites, 226 year over under. Philly, they're laying 3 at Atlanta against the Hawks. 238 is your big over-under. Boston at Miami, straight pick, 213. Raptors, minus 2 at Brooklyn, 227.5. Charlotte, minus 3.5 at New Orleans, 231 is your total. We got Minnesota and Dallas, Mavs, small favorite, 1.5, 226. San Antonio at Denver to play the Nuggets. Nuggets 5, 213. Utah minus 10 at Phoenix, 220 is your over-under. Memphis at Portland. The Blazers laying 10.5, 217. And Houston minus 1.5 at the Clip, 229 is your total. As Gabe just mentioned, in the NHL, the league and Players Association agreeing to a 1-year extension on the controversial playoff format. So any potential changes are going to be implemented no sooner than the 2020-2021 campaign, despite many players coming out trashing the system. It does need change. Just 3 on 4 frozen water tonight. We got Ottawa and the Rangers. Rangers, big favorite, minus 180, over under 6. St. Louis taking on Chicago. The Blues, minus 150 on the road, over under 6 there. And Calgary laying 170 at Anaheim, 5.5. Stay tuned, everybody. Our good friend Gamblu drops by to talk to me and Gabe on Red Heat and Rage. We got picks, DFS, and a whole lot more, too. So stick around. Gamblu coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions. Already into level two on this Wednesday afternoon. We appreciate you joining us, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. iHeartRadio, as well as now on YouTube. And I'm just getting an email here. Kev, we were just talking about this book yesterday, in which Rick Riley wrote a book about playing golf with Donald Trump and somehow got 244 pages out of it. And he's booked for the morning after tomorrow.
Ooh, Rick Riley?
Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit put off, to be honest.
Yeah. Couldn't it be one?
I just saw the pop up. Like, when I saw Riley, I was like, Pat Riley, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're all excited.
I was like, Pat Riley. I'm like, that's exciting. I was thinking Miami Heat playoffs, right? The legend, Pat Riley. Rick Riley. Well, I guess I could ask him, how did you write a full book about playing golf with Donald Trump?
Donald Trump, yeah, that's actually an excellent question. Rick, you got a lot of material. Should have been a page or a chapter. You wrote a book.
I'm going to say, you're pretty skilled. You got a book out of this.
It's quite a wordsmith. I could.
I'm not going to lie. I saw this email at the end of the last segment, and I don't know like if... Yeah. People realize like it sort of threw me off. You know what I mean? I'm a little talking. I just see the name Riley, and I'm thinking Pat Riley, and I see Rick Riley, Donald Trump, golf book, 11:10 a.m. And I'm like, you got to be careful. Like, do you guys listen to the show?
Yeah. When I hear Riley, I think O'Reilly. Maybe you want the guy from O'Reilly on. The auto parts guy. Hey, they had the race last week. Yeah, they obviously aren't listening, Morenci.
See, already someone in the chat. Anybody that uses Donald Trump's name to write a book is a douchebag. See,
we had a good run there yesterday too. Yeah, it's like, know what, Morenci? Maybe they do it just to see what you'll do. It's like, who did Gabe rip yesterday? Oh yeah. Try to get him on the show.
Yeah. Orville did this to me once before. Orville did this to me once before, man, with the Cincinnati Bengals. Once I went on a Bengal, I always go on Bengal tirades, but it was like really bad, man. I went off. It was like Monday Night Football type thing. They played on Monday Night Football. I went off. I called them a bunch of thugs and convicts, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, you know, spazzing out type thing. And the next night, it's like we had Pac-Man Jones on. You know what I mean? Like,
what the hell? Hey, Pac-Man, like, how was West Virginia?
I'm like, hey, Pac-Man, how you doing? At least this was before he shot people at in Las Vegas. Because remember when we were with Heath Herring? And I don't know how it came up, but remember, like I said, we were talking about the NBA in Vegas, or I don't know, whatever, man. Like, but I basically stated, I said, yeah, man. I said, shit got crazy when I said I had Pac-Man Jones on my show. And then right after, people got shot at the All-Star game. He's like, yeah, he shot my friend. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, he shot my friend. It's like he's Herring's buddy. He was a bouncer at that strip club.
And God Dave,
set,
I'll tell God you.
Set pro sports back like 10 years in Vegas that weekend.
It sure did. Anyway, you said it, man. This Blue Jay game is a ghost town. We have a problem with attendance in Toronto. It is embarrassing.
Yeah, we'll hit that on the other side. Lou!
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Detroit Tigers, New York Yankees now tied up at one. Tigers have runners on first and third with two out. Wild baseball game in Capital City. Washington Nationals went back and forth. I saw National bettors crying about this. Nationals win 9-8. Toronto Blue Jays up 2-0 right now. And the Baltimore Orioles were on the Jays and the under in that game. We actually have a piece of San Diego as well, but we'll get caught up to date as far as the baseball is concerned a little bit later on. Let's get to Hanser quickly in Toronto, and then we'll bring Lou Gamblew.com in. Hanser, what's up, Hanser?
Hanser.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on,
Hanser? I'm sitting back here. I had some grub. I'm having a beer, but I really wish I had some of that Bob Kush. Jesus. That was sitting back,
Vermont.
Eh?
Vermont.
Wait,
yeah, they have good weed.
Yeah, Bob in Vermont. It is a sprinkle with opium. Oh, that guy was
medicinal.
Fixed, man. He was, wow,
medicinal.
Wow. Give me that straight.
You know that? Yeah, yeah. Vermont's not a bad place, man. Very hilly. You got to walk up and down some hills, but, you know.
I love Vermont, actually. Vermont has incredible skiing. If you're on the East Coast, you want to get some real skiing in, that's a great place to go, man. I remember as a kid going there. I went to the Ben and Jerry's factory. Holy crap, man. I ate like fucking 4 or 5 pints, dude.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, like maybe Vermont might have to consider Vermont on the retirement list, the retirement debate.
Oh, you'd
close
be
to Montreal,
you'd be
too.
Happy there. Close to Montreal, lots of foliage,
very close
access
to, Montreal.
To green. Yep. Good life, Gabe. It's actually a lower stress, too. I think you'd like it. It'd be pretty good. Vermont's a winner.
I could go to Vermont Catamount basketball games.
True. Yep. Burlington, Vermont.
I could go.
That's going to be your go-to.
And Chief
Hockey East, they got some good NCAA hockey.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
Chief
John McClair.
That factory was St. like Louis. The death of me, man.
Man, you and an ice cream fan.
I saw your picture, your Twitter, Hanser. That gyro looked pretty delicious. I was starting to salivate. Nice score.
Yeah, great gyro.
Oh, it was amazing. Right. I actually took Gabe there that 12 or 10 night when he was lit. And I don't know if he remembers.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh, the night after the DeMar DeRozan night.
Yeah.
I remember. It was very good. I was under the influence, but you're in the middle of Greek Town in Toronto. You can't go wrong. But no, that was the best. That's the best Slovakia that I've had in the city of Toronto. That like comparable to NDG in Montreal, home of the Greek, home of Jimmy the Greek.
That's
all right, Hanser.
Okay, don't so choke, a couple of things. No, don't worry. I won't choke. I'm a veteran. Settle down, okay? First off, Cam, just a quick banger, okay? Do you see that our new manager for the Blue Jays intentionally walked Chris Davis? Like, this guy bat 180 last year. He doesn't have a hit yet this year. There's Jesus Sucre batting behind him, and he intentionally walks him. I want to give the guy a chance. I want to believe in him, but, like, that's Unsolved Mysteries.
Are we talking to Hanser or Babano here? All right. Thanks, Hanser, for the call. We got to get to Lou. Gambler.
Yeah, love you, buddy.
Thanks, Hanser. We'll get to the Blue Jays manager after we talk to Lou. Sorry, Lou. Hanser's drunk. You know, what can you do?
No, hey, I think the guy brings a lot of energy. I was enjoying you guys' discussion.
We appreciate the call, Hanser. Hanser's one of our better callers, actually.
He's our boy. Yeah, we love him.
Yeah, the bar's not that high, so like he's like Hanser brings it.
Well,
we love Hanser.
I remember you talking about the souvlaki. I think it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, that's it. Souvlaki. I guess you can call it a gyro.
Iro. No, Iro uses Iro meat, and a souvlaki uses lamb. Souvlaki is way better. Yeah.
You could do pork or lamb. Yeah. Actually, I prefer gyros. I know it's more of a manufactured lamb hybrid meat, but I find it tastes better. That's just me, though, Lou. Most people go for souvlaki. I'm a gyro man.
And then you've got your donor. You know what a donor is?
Yeah,
it's the dog sitting next to the stand that's about to be the next souvlaki.
Good point, Lou, but it's delicious. I love donair.
No, but it's like
throw enough hot sauce and cucumber on it, and it goes down good.
It's sure like, though, like, you know, a submarine, a hoagie, a hero. You know what I mean? Like, when Homer's like, I want to live. I want to eat a sub, a hoagie. it's all the same thing, called different things. But nevertheless. So, Lou, we'll get to the fights, and I know you're more of a let's get to the fight guy, and we can't bet on the news of MMA, but, you know, we have to bring it up here. You know, Conor McGregor, we can say, you know, we've talked about his demise and his personal instability, I'll call it, his personal instability. Yet, when you start getting into the religion stuff, he already went down the terrorist road and whatever. He crossed the line with Floyd Mayweather. It was clearly racist. And it's repeated. But, you know, when you're talking about a guy's wife and not even, you know, Chael Sonnen today, you know, tell your wife to make me a sandwich when I get to Brazil. All right. You know, that's one thing as opposed to, hey, you're married to a towel. And then secondly, Khabib has just responded here in the last couple hours on Twitter and basically showed Conor groping a chick and said, you're a rapist and you're going to face justice soon. Like, this isn't good for the sport. This isn't good for anybody, but Conor is pretty much a lowlife, Lou. And what bothers me about it is, and I bitch about this morning, not to get philosophical too much, but that it's just sort of accepted as, the Twitter war has taken a next level, or Conor McGregor's talking smack. Conor McGregor's dropped racist stuff before. You know, there's 1.6 billion Muslim people in the world. You know, I've made nearly 2 billion. You're getting into a dangerous territory now if you're Conor McGregor. I mean, I thought he retired, Lou. When he's not getting arrested, he's retired. And when he's not doing that, he's offending people. Like, and he's not getting a pop out of this at all. Like, even on his own Twitter, like, even his own fanboys are embarrassed at this point in time. Most of the tweets are like, hey, Conor, go do another line, bro. People are sending him video of him getting his ass handed to him, of him saying, hey, it's just a business. I was just trying to sell the fight, as he was trying to get Khabib to stop murdering him in the cage last time. Like, Conor McGregor, it's hard to, you know, he really is stepping into clown territory now, Lou, in my opinion.
Well, you and I have had discussions on many occasions about what meteoric fame and wealth, riches and notoriety can do to a young person, especially a young fighter that comes from a dire poverty situation. And so it's a tragic story. I hope what appears to be happening is not what it appears to be. I'm no judge, but he's showing signs that we've seen through history that only lead a man to a complete and total devastating effect. And I prefer that the guy, you know, clean up, get away somehow, protect his money so that he's got wealth for the rest of his life and his kids' life, and get his act together. But young people are hard to tell what to do. And it's impossible to tell the champ what to do when they bring in their own money and, you know, seemingly they are on top of the world. It's a blessing but a curse at the same time and a tragic story.
Well, he's going to have to listen to people telling him what to do pretty soon. Because at this rate, there's going to be prison guards telling him what to do.
Yeah, it's going to be the man. The man's going to tell him what to do. And I'm telling you, you don't want that.
Playing with fire.
Yes, he is.
All right, we'll take a quick break. And listen, Khabib is saying he wants to fight the winner of Max Holloway and Dustin Poirier. So we'll hit that and more. We'll get into the best bets. We'll talk some NHL hockey, playoffs around the corner. UFC 236 next.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Time decision. Red Heat Bridge Radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right. We're also on YouTube now as well. We're in conversation with LouGamblou.com. It's UFC 236 State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier. Two badasses. What can you say, man, about Max Holloway and the run that this guy has been on since... He hasn't lost since he fought the aforementioned Conor McGregor. That was all the way back in 2013. What an incredible run, Lou. And, you know, you and I both wondered about his well-being. A lot of people wondered about concussions and other health issues with Max. But, man, the guy, he's Hawaiian tough, man. They don't make him like Hawaiians, man. These Samoans and Hawaiian dudes, they're tougher than the rest. They really are.
That great point. They are.
It is a great point. They're natural fighters, and they seem to have an ability to be able to take a shot. I mean, it's really unbelievable when you look. UFC 143 in 2012, Poirier and Holloway fought, and it was Holloway's first fight in the UFC. And so there's some revenge here. There's two dynamic, talented fighters here, each kind of with his own angle. There's a lot of storyline, and it sets up to be an outstanding fight.
It really does. So right now the odds, Max Holloway's getting respect from the market, Lou, the odds makers in the market. As Max right now in the 230, 235 range, favorite against Poirier right now. What's your take? We know you like to walk the dogs. Do you see a live dog? I should say not a dog, but do you see a diamond in the rough, Lou? His nickname's Diamond. That's slick.
Exactly.
Well done.
Thank you.
It's an outstanding play on words. So, you look at some of Holloway's, he was minus 270 against Aldo the second time. That fight was somewhat competitive. He was minus 140 against Ortega. He comes 230 against Poirier. To me, I think the number is a little bit insulting to Poirier, quite honestly. And I'm just going to sit back and kind of watch this. Both are talented. Max has developed more since their first fight, just because it's been his first fight, and he's such a young man still. But Poirier's no slouch, and also I think he has a more sophisticated, complete ground game. So I really like Poirier, and I want to watch it. And I would have to say between, that fight's a week from this weekend. So, between now and next week when we talk, Gabe and Cam, I'll be sitting and watching. But my strike number's close. I'd say at plus 200, I may take a bite out of Dustin Poirier and then continue to wait and monitor.
You got to believe, Lou, that the market – the numbers got to be coming down a bit, right? I mean, it's not, it can't go up any higher, right? So I imagine if you like Poirier, it's probably better to do it in advance, but it's always risky betting MMA in advance.
Normally.
This is a hell of a hell of a card, though, in Atlanta here.
It's a great card, but normally, as we just like NFL or you know, many sports, if you want the chalk, you want to get it early. If you're on the dog, normally you're going to wait until right before they fight to try and get the best price. That may not be how this one works. I'm looking at five dimes where Max opens at 230, and that's where he is now, but it's been percolating all over. You know, there's not a lot of volume or not a lot of a bet wager allowed this early. So we'll have to wait until next week to see, but both that and the co-main event on that card are awesome looking fights.
Yeah, Gastelum and Adesanya going to be a fun fight. Yeah, I look forward to this card next week. All right, so yeah, that's on the 13th in Atlanta.
I don't want to live in the past, but our Scottish friend got it done for us last week, eh, buddy? Nice big pooch with our boy Craig.
Yeah, in one of the worst fights in the history of the UFC.
That was a great fight. I'm glad you guys talked about it because I watched it with Lisa. It was on TV, and you know, Gabe, I got a lot of other sports going on with March Madness stuff. It was absolutely fantastic. I love Gaethje, man. That guy's quite an entertainer. What a fight, man. That guy really he blew my mind. That was awesome.
Yeah, he blew my bankroll.
Yeah. Sorry, Lou.
Dude,
no, Lou. It's okay. Hey, it happens. I had Emmett.
I was watching the fight, Lou. I was watching a fight, and you know, we should have sent you a link. Actually, it's been a little while since we've done it, so we're watching a fight on Saturday, and I'm having drinks, and I'm on Barbosa, and as the fight starts, Lou, they're gone, and I'm screaming like at the TV and into my computer, basically, like I'm like, no, don't do this, like the last thing you want to do with Gaethje, Cam. Is stand there and just train.
And fight with them. Oh, no, that guy's, he's a killer,
like the
man.
Guy's a street fighter. He's a nut job.
I know.
That's what he wants to do. I know he can wrestle, but he wants to just, like, turn it into a brawl. And Barbosa, like, walked right into
Barbosa
it. Just,
yeah,
let's start swinging.
He didn't his wife just have a kid or something afterwards, too? Like, he wasn't mentally there. Like, you looked in his eyes, you could tell, like, Gaethje, like, it was just... He wasn't, like, when the fight started, when I saw them in the octagon, I go, this guy's not winning this fight. Sometimes you get the look, and he had the look of, like, you know, it didn't have that killer look.
Gaethje's not great, man. It's just whatever. Yeah, it's like a home run hitter. You swing for the fences, strike out sometimes. You hit a home run sometimes, Lou.
That's true.
Yeah, and I would say, as I look back on that one, I'm really kicking myself for taking Barbosa there. Number one, he was the chalk. Number two... and I'm going to say this bluntly, Brazilian jiu-jitsu based fighters can be bullied and pushed and backed up. And I knew that. And Barboza's had a history of it. And I didn't. And I missed. And I had Barbosa. And that really, really chaps me. But I did pick Barbosa here a week ago. So I want to stand to it. But as a competitor myself, I need to do better when I know better. So all you can do is just keep grinding away.
We do it too, Lou, and the hockey betting and everything. That's the thing. That's why these sports books are there, right, Gabe? Like, you got an angle on things, but things don't go according to plan a lot of the time. That's why the sports books are, they got a nice handle. It's tough. It's tough to hit winners all.
It's, you know, it's like Bobby Knight. You know, Bobby Knight was asked when he set the all-time record for most wins for a college basketball coach, if he remembers every win. And he said, God, no. But he goes, I remember every loss.
Every loss.
And he was serious.
Yeah.
He said, I could tell you. And Bobby Knight said, I could tell you what happened in every game I've ever coached and I've lost it. He goes, I could tell you the scenario, what happened, you know what I mean, the ref, my guy missed a shot, like whatever. Like, he remembers every single game. He goes, I don't remember the wins. He goes, I don't remember the wins. Like, and, you know, that's a real competitor, Lou. And I'm the same way, like you just talked about it, man. Sometimes, man, bets I don't make, grind my gears for days. And it's not even the money. It's just like, man, you knew better. Why did you do that? And
exactly.
The UFC can really humble you in a hurry like that, because it's not a 3-hour game. It's, you know, like, and it's that sinking feeling that, you know, Lou and Cam, you know, though, you can tell early, man, whether you're on the wrong side or right side of a fight. I usually can tell. Yeah. Like,
I knew that sinking feeling,
Lou, in your pit. You're like, oh, shit, I'm on the wrong guy.
You know, yeah, I got like, the wrong guy. I got the wrong kid. I knew it 30 seconds into this Barboza fight, to be quite honest with you. But the one thing I will say about fights is that after studying everything, really, it's one man against another. And if I can correctly understand or know for however reason that one person is going in there totally focused and with everything on the line, fully prepared, then if you can find a good dog price, you take a swipe at the guy going to give his best effort. In many ways, I find the integrity of the gamble better than an NFL game or a hockey game or a team game where I have to rely on offense, defense, special teams, individual plays, a pitcher, call-outs, managers, etc. So for many reasons, I've always been passionate about fights, but I have a high expectation, as we all do, and it chaps me when I lose in anything.
We have a statement from Dana White. All right. So, of course, just a quick catch up. We know how much they hate each other, Khabib and Conor. Khabib's wife's never been seen in public before, and she wears the head garb. And Conor basically found a picture of his wedding and said, "You're married to a towel." Khabib has responded saying that you're a rapist and justice will soon find you. Dana White has just released a statement saying, "I am aware of the recent social media exchange between Khabib and Conor. The ongoing situation has escalated to a level that is not acceptable. We're taking necessary steps to reach out to both athletic camps, and the situation is being addressed by all parties internally." Yeah, as no doubt they used like their that's what he said about when Conor threw the dolly, and then he used it in the video promo.
Yeah, that's right. Great promo. You want entertainment?
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll hit some NHL hockey, a little NFL football on the other side with Lou Gamblew.com. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is 70s Radio Retro Day.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Major League Baseball season now in full swing. It's time to swing for the fences playing Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the eighth $1 million winner and another one of the countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, and even hundreds of thousands of dollars using DailyRoto.com to help set their DraftKings and FanDuel lineups. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of the lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your special 10% discount today.
Game Time Decisions continues on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. iHeart now on YouTube as well. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. Lou from Gamblew.com. Joining us on the show. So, Lou, I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you did, being in Arizona, but the Arizona Hotshots are no more. The Alliance League is no more. And quite frankly, as much as I love you, Lou, maybe if you went to a damn game, they'd still be there.
Yeah, well, right now, I'm an old saddle, and the butt print in me is pretty much established. And I, you know, there's no way I'm going to any kind of football this time of year. If I go anywhere on a Sunday, to be honest, it's up to Turf Paradise, and I'll simulcast some Santa Anita races. Ooh. I haven't done it much this year. I haven't been able to do it much this year because Santa Anita isn't running. That track is all screwed up, which is another whole story in itself. But I do like the horses this time of year because I'm square at it, and I hit a few exactas and tries, and I give a lot back, but I have a couple beers and a few sandwiches. It's a great experience. But as far as AAF, it's unfortunate for all the people and players, I guess. But, I mean, how thin do you got to be that you got to fold up before the first year even completes? I don't mean to sound critical, but it just sounds like kind of a knee-jerk thing to begin with.
Yep.
No, you're exactly right. I can't. There's no disputing that. So you mentioned, it's terrible what's going on over at Santa Anita right now. 23 horses now, guys. Up to 23 freaking horses have now died there. It's, you know, they got to figure this out. But it's funny. I was at the Meadowlands earlier in the day today, Cam, and I thought of you actually because I saw. I actually ate lunch and I hung out. I didn't even go to I went to the sports book, but I went old school. I had the grilled cheese and fries today for the first time in months. And I sat with the horse guys, the old guys. So I sat on the horse track side. And
I love that side. Love it there.
So I saw, of course, the Kentucky Derby prep races continue. Last week, we just had Mark Lawrence on earlier, and Mark actually won with Maxim Security and Bodie Express and had Code of Honor. Mark won the exact and the trifecta at Florida Derby, and he was there at the race. But it continues this week, guys. The Japan Road to the Kentucky Derby. The Fukuyuru Stakes. We got the Wood Memorial.
Yep.
We got the Bluegrass. Santa Anita Derby. Cardinal Condition Stakes. That's the European Road to the Kentucky Derby. The Lexington, the Kentucky Derby Championship Series. And then finally, the Arkansas Derby. I missed the Louisiana Derby. That's always one. That's a big one, too. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Derby, guys. And, in fact, I saw the Meadowlands. I might do it, Cam. I'm going to live it up a little bit this year instead of cheaping out. The Meadowlands has, in the Grand Ballroom upstairs, $60 drinks and buffet for the Kentucky Derby race day.
Oh, that's great, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
$60.
So why not? I'll be up there in a nice suite there and stuff. Yeah, why not?
I think that's great.
That sounds like nothing but fun to me.
I agree, Lou. I agree. No, the thing about Kentucky Derby, Gabe, is it's one of the best betting angles, too. When I was down in Vegas with Blessing, you can bet this thing so early, and you have basically like 200 horses to choose from. And if you know the horse game, you could pick out a guy. Oh, yeah, like 115 to 1, 125, 60. A lot of these things, a lot of those horse players, they do the futures there before the big race where you're getting a horse at 5 or 10 to 1. It's a great way to attack it, buddy. And I know a couple of people that have been successful that way. You know, you get the early odds, and you get a really nice number a lot of the time.
I stand corrected. Yeah, there's no booze.
Oh, no booze.
Yeah, they couldn't. They'd go,
still good.
Go busted if they did it that way. But you buy your own booze, and that's perfect. So,
$54. Menu features barbecue glazed steak, strawberry field salad, fried catfish, mac and cheese, and more.
Sure. Bring a knapsack.
A couple of bottles of vodka would be included in the war.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know,
there's nothing better than a horse. You know, a full day, a busy day at the racetrack. I got to tell you, there's nothing better. I grew up with it in Omaha, Nebraska, at a track called Exarban. We all worked there in the summer. I worked at a swimming pool, actually, and as soon as it got to 59 degrees, we closed that son of a bitch down, would take all the quarters out of the pop machine and go to the horse track. What a bunch of degenerates we were. I love the horses.
Lou.
Oh, that's why you're Gamblu.
Yes, sir.
That was the quarter. Smart.
All right, Lou. So we got a couple minutes left here before we get you out of here. Lou likes to lay down on the hockey playoffs. So finally, the season's coming to an end. Yeah, thank God, mercifully. So the playoffs, I don't know when the playoffs start. Maybe the playoffs start like what, next Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Type thing?
Oh, Tuesday.
Are we 6 days away? Really?
Tuesday, yes, sir. This regular season ends Saturday, and Tuesday they drop the puck for round one.
That's pretty cool. Tampa and Columbus would be the matchup right now. Boston and Toronto. Washington and Carolina. Pittsburgh and the Islanders.
Matchups.
Looks like much. Yeah. Pittsburgh and the Islanders seems to be kind of locked in, too, along with this Bruins and the Leafs. In the West, Flames, Avalanche, San Jose, Vegas, Winnipeg, Dallas, Nashville, St. Louis. I tell you, Lou, listen, I know you're on Tampa and you got the big future. I'm kind of thinking that a team's going to win from the East, guys, because the West is just going to kick the crap out of each other. Like, it's too much of a battle. Like, San Jose and Vegas is a war. Dallas and Winnipeg is going to be a freaking war battle from hell. Colorado and Calgary, it's going to be the same thing. Like, Nashville and St. Louis, like, every series, like, and even after the teams in advance, it's just like a war of attrition out West. I know that I'm not saying the East is easy or anything, but don't you guys agree that these teams out West just beat the crap out of each other so much?
Cam, what do you think?
I'll tell you what I think, Gabe. I think we're going to find value from a betting perspective in the West. All the teams that are favored are cold right now. Calgary have big-time problems with Rittich and their goaltender, Mike Smith. I'm telling you, Gabe, I searched around today. If Ben Bishop is healthy for Dallas, if there's any way, I like them to upset Winnipeg in the first round. I know that's not going to be a popular thing here in Canada, but I'm telling you, the Dallas Stars have all the formula. Them and St. Louis would be spoilers. I got Dallas at 12-1 for the Western Conference, Gabe. I think the West is wide open. I think Gamblu's Lightning are better than everybody else. If anybody's going to take them down, the teams, I think probably Boston would be that team. And if Toronto beats them, they played well against Tampa Bay. But I'm telling you, Gabe, the West, you get the value there with St. Louis and Dallas. Those teams have the grinding defensive style that are going to give teams fits. The Jets are cold right now. A lot of those big upset dogs in the West are the ones that are peaking right now. You might get a nice price, fellas.
Just for the record, the Eastern Conference has won the last three Stanley Cups. So, not often discussed, but the Eastern Conference has won three straight Cups. What do you think, Lou?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I do think the West is just going to be so big and heavy and physical. Each first-round winner is just going to limp into the rest of the playoffs, for crying out loud. And in the East, and I agree with Cam also, that Dallas and St. Louis are entering the playoffs white, freaking hot, and Winnipeg can't stop shots, and their goaltender's not that. I mean, there's a lot of teams in the West that'll put up a good fight like Nashville and Winnipeg, but I don't know if they're going to go far because these other teams could be coming up. So I agree with both of you in that regard. In the East, I think Boston can give Tampa Bay fits. However, Boston's got to get by Toronto, and they've played each other in first rounds the last few years with Boston always winning. Toronto's the kind of team, if they get roaring, they could potentially give Boston some trouble. So I look at that series as very interesting, and I really like what's going on in Carolina. And with that said, Carolina against Washington intrigues me again as another potential maybe dog outfit that we could look for. So I know we don't have much time, and it's coming up next week, but we'll surely pipe in more a week from now, and I sure appreciate you guys giving me time each week to talk about the passionate sports that we love.
You know what sucks, though? It's crazy. So the season ends, and then boom, not a lot of turnaround. I guess we kind of know the matchup, but not a lot of turnaround for betting purposes. Like, you got to be honest right away, Cam, essentially. as soon as the prices come out, because you don't want to think, oh, I should have parlayed that, you know, this series with that, or done this and taken this exact games. You got to let it all sink in. But I love this time of year. So, you know, really, from a gambling perspective, I've sort of gone through the motions, which it's not a smart thing to do since the NFL's been over. I got into the NCAA tournament for the first, you know, 2 weeks here. Now I'm burnt out of that. But and I'm into baseball. I've been doing pretty well with baseball. But I love the playoffs time of the year for betting. Like, from a fan perspective, it's fun, too. But for betting, like the NBA, the NHL, I love seeing those series prices. I love betting series. I'm not the most patient person for futures, but I do like betting series prices. For years in a row, Lou, I hit the NBA, basically the Golden State Warriors and whoever wins the Stanley Cup. But I've done it for years going back. The Stanley Cup winner and the NBA Finals winner parlay together. And I've had good success with that parlay over the years. Big, big fan of this time of the year. It's time, and maybe I'll even get out to a game. Pittsburgh Penguins and New York Islanders should be a good time out there.
Oh, that'd be wicked.
Nothing better than playoff hockey. The electricity in the stadium, everything is unmatched, completely unmatched. And anyone that has the chance, I would tell them to do it. I've been to Cup championships, Cup finals, a game one, a game three. I've been to playoffs. Nothing better, and I'm looking forward to talking more about it, because it's going to be an unbelievable playoff season.
I was there when the Canadians won the Cup with Patrick Roy in 1993. I was in the building, which was pretty cool. But one thing, you know, if you ever had an award there, if you're ever there when a team's going to win, you got to think ahead. And remember to buy a lot of beers, because if you want to stay after the game, you know, they shut stuff down. That was the good old days, though. Yep. They used to shut it down pretty late, 5 minutes left in the game or something. Like, now we're in a nanny state.
And you were still bitching.
Yeah.
What are they shutting beers down before the cut to the game?
I literally bought 12 beers at the end. And the Yankees just leave so many freaking runners on in scoring position. 1-1 after six innings with the lowly Detroit Tigers. LouGamblou.com. Thanks, Lou.
Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
The Brooklyn Nets tonight at the Barclays Center. Massive game for the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn are in danger of missing the playoffs. It's, you know, it's really, really tight right now in the Eastern Conference in the National Basketball Association. When you look at 6th, 7th, 8th place, a lot of stuff can still happen. Toronto Raptors really aren't playing for anything tonight. It's an advantage for the Brooklyn Nets, yet still Toronto are still a good team, and Toronto's bench can still beat you. So Brooklyn's going to be in tough tonight. Disappointing effort in the fourth quarter the other night against the Milwaukee Bucks. But, yeah, looking at the standings right now, Cam, the Miami Heat are in 8th place. The Orlando Magic are in 9th place, but they're only half game back. They're only a half game back. So they're a half game back of Miami. Miami are only a half game back of Brooklyn. And Brooklyn are only a half game back of Detroit. So, like,
Orlando's got the Knicks tonight, like, too, Gabe. That's a big advantage.
Yeah.
At home, 13
They all lost the other night. Like, so exactly. They have to take advantage of this. And if you remember, I think it was the game we got screwed on our parlay. I think the Knicks beat them last time they played. It was, I don't even want to talk about it, but.
The Bulls.
Like, if the Brooklyn Nets lose if the Brooklyn Nets lose like three games in a row, they could be out type thing. Like same with the Miami Heat, same thing with the Detroit Pistons, same with Orlando. So basically Detroit, Brooklyn, Miami, and Orlando all in must-win situations. Out West, it's really crazy, but it's a little different. They all know they're in. They all know they're in, and we should tip our cap, actually, to Russell Westbrook. 87 fantasy points last night.
Fantastic. 2020
a triple double double.
Unbelievable. Only Will Chamberlain did it before.
Yeah.
That was amazing performance.
I would have figured that he would have gotten more than 87 fantasy points, though.
Yeah, you deserve 100 plus for that effort. I'm with you. Well,